deal with Old Testament pictures of Christ. And I want to talk this evening about the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, the doctrine of this scripture, principal doctrine, is that the world and all things in it is vain. They're vain. They're mostly vain things. Paul said the fashion of this world passes away. And our Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit him? Huh? You know, when you look at this world, and when a man leaves this world, with all its labors, with its glory, with all its relationships, its titles, and its honor, and its wealth, what remains after man is dead? What remains? Nothing. Nothing at all. They all die with him. He came into this world naked, didn't have nothing. When he leaves, he ain't taking nothing with him. And you know, I was thinking about this, that people give great homage to a lot of men in that when the Lord takes them out of this world. And there's a lot of folks that's left that I dearly love, and I speak very highly of them. But, you know, a man, I don't care how wealthy he is, what kind of title he has, how much glory he had in this world, and they can build a statue over his grave, and you know what he knows about it? Nothing. He won't hear a word. He won't see the statue. He won't see nothing about it. He'll see nothing about it. Then he'll realize that this world. Now I want you to notice there in verse 1, it says, the words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, down in verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Solomon was a preacher of God first and foremost. He called himself a preacher right off the bat. He was God's preacher first and king of Israel second. And being the preacher, he is qualified, very well qualified to teach and instruct people because God blessed him like he did nobody else. And as being king over Israel, he didn't lack for wealth. He didn't lack for power. He didn't lack for the opportunity because of his position. The opportunity to search in and participate in all anything he wanted to do under the sun. And I tell you, everything that he could want in this world, he could get. He could get. If there's anyone who could talk about firsthand of the vanities of the world and the true riches of God, it was the preacher, King Solomon. I want you to look with me now. I want you to keep Ecclesiastes and go over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And look in chapter 3. I want you to look in chapter 3 with me. In verse 12. You know, he understood the vanity. I mean, he could do anything. He searched things out, participated in things. Didn't lack for anything that he wanted to do with. Wanted to make an opportunity, he could. But look what it says here now. Look what God says about him. Solomon was a child, and he asked God for one thing. Give me wisdom, give me understanding. And God spake to him, said, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, and after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So I tell you, then he gave him riches and honor, even though he didn't ask for it. He just wanted to be a child and know how to discern things. And then he says there, he said in verse 13, I gave my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. You know, and this is a sore travail God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised therein. I looked at how many times he spoke about his heart. I gave my heart. I talked to my heart. I looked in my heart. And I tell you what, here he's talking about his heart. Now the heart are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I tell you what, he mentioned his heart 10 times. 10 times, that heart, what he actually is. And what we are is what we are in our hearts. And God sees our hearts. He don't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And he said, I gave my heart. I put my whole heart into seeking out and searching out wisdom. Now, I tell you, here's a man. He said, I want to know about art. So he delved into art. He said, I want to know the sciences of the day. So he got into sciences. He said, I want to know all the different kind of trades that people do in this world. So he wanted to know all the different trades that people had, the people, things that they'd done. And I tell you what, he studied politics, he studied philosophy, education, history. He pursued human wisdom. And not just a superficial knowledge like I have, or me and you have. But oh, he got down into the depths of all that men can know and all that men know. He got down into the depths of it. And you know what his conclusion was? He said, oh, this is vanity and vexation of spirit. And look what he says down here. And I'll look down here in verse 17 with me now. And he said, like I said, I gave my heart to know wisdom. Oh my. And to know madness and folly. And what was my conclusion? What was my conclusion? I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. You know what vexation is to be very, very troubled. Very troubled. Everybody knows what it is to be vexed. Most of the time, vexing means that you got angry about something. It, something troubled you till it really bothered your heart and your soul and you was upset. That's what vexation means. And he also said this in verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief. Oh, the wiser a person gets, the more grief he has. The more a man knows, the more he wants to know. And one thing, when you live a little while, and he that increases in knowledge increases sorrow. We know this, that the more we seek to know, and the older we get, the more we understand how little we do know. Amen. The more wisdom you get, the more knowledge you get, then you turn around and say, I ain't learned nothing after all these years. You ever feel that way? I've been spinning my wheel for 70 years. Why ain't I learned something by now? Why ain't I learned something, huh? And I tell you, he'll learn of his ignorance. And he'll learn this, that what knowledge he has and wisdom, it's insufficient. It's not sufficient to make a person happy. I don't care how smart you are, it can't make you happy. All that worldly knowledge and wisdom can do is cause vexation to the spirit and promote grief and sorrow. The more we see, the more we know, and the more we hurt. The wisdom of God is the wisdom of man's foolishness with God. And all that this worldly knowledge and worldly wisdom does is takes a man farther and farther and farther away from God. And when the end's said and done, it just promotes misery of soul. And then look here in verse 2. Just go to these first 3 verses. Here he says in his heart again, I gave my heart. I communed with my heart. I gave my heart. And he said, I said in my heart. He's going to have a conversation with himself. He said, I'm going to have a conversation. I said to my heart. I said in my heart. I'm going to prove you. I want to prove you. And I'm going to prove you with mirth, laughter, having a big time, and therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. And of mirth, what does it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom. and to lay hold on folly or foolishness till I might see what was that was good for the sons of men. He said, I've done everything that a person could do. See what was really good for other men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Solomon, he decided, I'm going to do some things for myself. I'm going to find out just exactly how much pleasure it take to make me feel good. I want to find out how happy I can be. Huh? I want to have pleasure. I want to live in a life of leisure, a life of pleasure. And I tell you what, he gave himself to laughter. Gave himself, had great entertainment. He had mirth, foolishness. That's what mirth means, foolishness. Oh my. And then he had feasting. Oh, taking nothing. You know, mirth means taking nothing seriously. And feasting, oh my. By giving himself to wine, he said, well, I'll see if wine will make my life better. Wine will make me enjoy myself. And oh my, he gave himself to the good life. Banqueting, entertaining, living luxuriously, and keeping back nothing that could give his pleasure and comfort. He didn't keep back anything. And what was his conclusion? What was his conclusion? Vanity. This is vanity. He said of laughter and pleasure. It's mad. It's mad. It's mad. Then ask, what good does it do? You know, you'll have a good time, you'll have a laughter, and you'll all have a big laugh and everything like, but when it's over and done with, it's done. It's gone. And that's what he's talking about. There's no solid, there's no substantial happiness and lasting peace in anything, no matter how pleasurable it might be. And that road ends in hunger and thirst, and they'll never be satisfied. And Solomon was a man that knowed how to, if he wanted a huge feast, he could. You read over, you look at yourself, you go back and look at Solomon and read about him and start in chapter 3 and go through 1 Kings and read about him there. Here's a man, I mean, they came from all over the known world to sit at his feet. They brought him gold by the truckloads. They brought him great spices. They brought him silver. The scripture says that gold and silver was like pebbles by the side of the road. That's how much he had. So he had all this, and he said, listen, we all had a big time. All had a great time. But it was all over. It didn't amount to anything. Didn't amount to nothing. Didn't amount to nothing. Huh? Then look what he says. Let's go down through verses 4 through 11. Chapter 2. And I made me great works. I made me great works. I building me houses. Not just a house, houses. He had a house that took him 11 years to build. You think about seeing some of these houses around here worth millions? Go around and see these people's houses worth millions? And don't take them 11 years to build it. It took him 11 years to build his. They brought stuff from all over the world for him to put in his house. Houses. Oh my, he said, I've made me great works. Houses. Oh, he turned to his great works, and he looked back over his works. And he didn't spend his time with little small projects and trifling things like I do. No, no. He was the richest, the wisest, most powerful man in the world at this particular time. He made great works. He made houses. Oh, he made great houses. He had a summer house. He had a winter house. He had gardens. Big gardens. Not gardens like you and I talk about raising vegetables. He had gardens made out of flowers and trimmed and made beautiful and glorious to look at and walk among. He had good orchards. And he built lakes. He built pools, he said. I made me pools of water to water the wood therewith. And I planted trees and all kinds of fruit. Look what I said in verse 7. I got me servants and maidens, and had service born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Oh my. He looked at all that he did. Look at his treasure. Look at his treasure now. Verse 8. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings of the provinces. Oh my. He had such wealth, great big treasure. And then he had a staff. He had more servants than he knew what to do with. And then look what he said. I got me some singers. I got me some men singers and women singers. He said, I got me a great big choir. Got me a great big choir. And then I got some people to play instruments. I had musical instruments of all sorts. So when they sang, I could have them to make music for me. Make music for me. And he said, and so I was very great, increased more than all that before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me while all this was going on. He didn't become a fool. And then he said, and whatever my eyes desired. Oh my, God keep me from this. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not them from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Now then look what he says now. Then I walked around. I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor I had labored to do. And I walked around in all of it, and I said, vanity, vexation of spirit, all the trouble that I went to do all these things. And then, what profit is it to me under the sun? And then look what he talks about, wisdom, better than foolishness. He says there in verse 12, and I turned myself to behold wisdom, watch madness and folly. So what man can the man do that comes after the king? One like me. Even all he can do is that's already been done. He can't do any more than I've already done. And listen to this. This is so true, especially for those who know Christ. For those who see Christ as the light. Christ is their wisdom. Christ is their hope. He said, I saw that wisdom excels folly as far, foolishness as far as the light excelleth darkness. I remember years and years ago, my brother Jimmy was down here, and there's a fella lived down in an old house down the road from us. Didn't have no lights in the house or nothing like that. And it'd be cold, he wouldn't go out and get wood. He'd just stay in bed and cover it up till somebody else brought him some wood. He was a sorry man. And he got to talk to my brother Jimmy and told him, well, ain't no use. What's the use of doing anything? What's the use trying to make it? What's the use trying to do anything? He said, you know, why do we want to do anything? And my brother said, well, what in the world do I need to do that for? I said, it just, you know, it ain't going to amount to nothing. I said, well, for one thing, I'm paying you how I put you in the apartment where you're at right now. That's one thing I done. And if you hadn't have done it, you wouldn't have a place to live. So I would have done all things that I tell you what, if it wasn't for, you know, but what I'm saying is this, that there are people that are so foolish and so sorry. The scripture says that the sluggard turns on his bed. This turns over from one side to the other. And you go around the sluggard's house and it's all grown up. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. He said, wisdom excelleth foolishness as light is as darkness and light is. And it is so strange. I see some folks do some crazy things. Then it goes on to say, Verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. But I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. Whether you're a fool, or whether you walk in darkness, or whether you're a wise man and you're walking in the light, same thing happens to both. Same thing happens to both. Huh? Same thing happens to both. One perceived that one event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Why did I do this? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there's no remembrance. Oh, there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come, everything about it shall be forgotten. Like David said, we're as a tale that's been told. And how does the wise man, he dies. How? Just like a fool does. Fool and wise men both die. And therefore I hated life. My soul, how you can. Oh, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous for me. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated my labor which I'd taken under the sun. You know why? He said, because I'm going to leave it under a man that shall be after me. All that I've accomplished in this life, I'm going to leave somebody else. And who knows? Is he going to be a wise man or is he going to be a fool? But whether he's wise or a fool, he's going to rule over all my labor that I've done. When I've showed myself wise under the sun, he's going to get it all. This is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labors which I looked under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, he shall leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and great evil. For what hath man of all of his labor and of the vexation of his heart, where it hath labored under the sun? For all his days there's always sorrows, and with all his troubles and travail there's grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest at night. Sometimes he gets the trouble, he can't sleep at night with the trouble that goes on. That's even a wise man he's talking about. And then look what he says in verse 24. There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Now listen to me. We went through all the things that Solomon said he done. He said, this is just vanity and vexation. That's all he said. You know, that's his position. He tried everything and it didn't amount to nothing. He didn't get no great pleasure from it. Didn't get happiness from it. Didn't get peace from it. His peace came from God. But is it wrong for a man to study? Is it wrong for a man to improve his mind? Is it wrong for a man to get an education? Is it wrong for him to become a teacher, a mechanic, a builder, an artist? Is it wrong to marry? Build a house, plant a garden, raise a family, enjoy your friends and your life? No, he said, there's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and listen to this, and enjoy good in his labor. He said, he ought to do this. Why? Because this I saw, it come from the hand of God. If it comes from the hand of God, that makes the difference. That makes the difference. And Solomon says this, for who can eat or else hasten thereunto more than I? Who knows this more than I do? And what he said, who knows more than that? God make me wise. God made me a king and God gave me what I have. That's what he's saying. And here's the key. Here's the key right here. Look in verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy, But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. God giveth to a man that's good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Who's the man that's good in his sight? And it certainly ain't me. There's none good, no, the scriptures tells us. This man that he's talking about here is the man whose righteousness and good is only found in Christ through faith in the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusts Christ. He believes Christ. Christ is his righteousness. So if there's any goodness about him, God gave it to him. Yeah. And then it says God gives him that wisdom and knowledge and joy. And he gives us these things to properly, rightly enjoy the good of our labor. He does that. Man's not spiritually wise by nature, but he becomes wise by the regenerating power of God himself, by the grace of God. What he knows and what he has are the gifts of God. Ain't that right? What do we got that we didn't receive? What do we know that God didn't give us? Huh? Oh, Christ is given to us. And then God gives the believer wisdom. Oh, he gives him wisdom. And oh, we enjoy what God's blessed us. I've told you that time and again. God gives the believer wisdom. And this wisdom that God gives a man, it enables him to understand something about Christ. Enables him to understand something about himself. Understand something about grace. Understand something about life. And especially to understand what true riches are. True riches are. And remember this, that a man's life does not consist in food or drink or what he wears. It can, in all his possessions or even in his relationships. For every one of them are temporary. Every one of them is temporary. And I tell you what we look on is things that are not seen. That's what we're looking at. And hold lightly, really, hold lightly to what we have in this world. Because God can come and take it any time he pleases. He can come and take a child, it's his. Come and take a husband, it's his. Come take a wife, it's his. He's the Lord. And I tell you what, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. If God's blessed anybody more than me, I don't know, I've yet to meet him. I've yet to meet him. And this is the difference. God gives us these things. God gives us these things. What seems good in his sight. That's what we're in reading. What seems good in his sight. And God gives the believer knowledge. He said he gives him wisdom and knowledge in his sight. Knowledge. Oh my. You know what knowledge he gives us? This is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. He knows that the source of all the mercies and all the blessings that he knows how to use and use them and be not be used by them. You see, here's the thing about it. You can have things, but don't let things have you. That's the difference. That's the difference in a believer and somebody in the world. A believer, he uses things, but he don't. And God gives him things, but the things don't possess him. I really believe that. And he knows how to be generous. He knows how to be a good steward. He knows how for God to bring him down. He knows how God to bring him up. He knows that the lower earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then look what he says. And then he giveth the sinner joy in his sight. Not wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And we have true joy. Oh, our joy is in Christ. Our joy is in God. Our joy is not in this world. No. Nor in anything that this world holds for us. Our joy and rejoicing are in the Lord Jesus alone. And I tell you something we really rejoice in. He told the Philippians, rejoice, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Huh? If you want to rejoice in anything, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. And the key to that is that what God seems good to give it in His sight. Now, I know people that's in the world, and all they're interested in is what kind of car they're driving, how expensive their clothes are, how big their houses are, how much money they make. But not us. We know why we enjoy what God's given us, even the labor of our hands, is because God gave it to us. He gives us the ability and the strength to do it. Anything we have. If you got a job, God gave it to you. I'm serious. You know that as well as I do. If you got sense enough to get in out of the rain, God gave you that sense. We've heard people say that all the time. He ain't got sense enough to get in out of the rain. Well, the other day I didn't. I stayed on the moor and it poured down the rain, and I thought, when I got done, I said, boy, what a fool. I felt like a fool. I said, boy, what an idiot. And it's not good to mow in the rain. Not good to pour down. But that's what I'm talking about. That shows how foolish a person can be just that quick. But I tell you, everything we have that's right, that's good, that's true, God gave it to us, and it seemed good in His sight.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, oh, our blessed, blessed Father, thank You for Your good, abundant mercies given us in Christ. Oh, Your grace abounds in Him. Oh, it abounds. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And Lord, let us understand that this world, that we're to use it, but not to abuse it. Because this world and the fashion of it is just going to pass away. And we're looking not at the things that we see, but we look, oh Lord, by Your grace, at the things we don't see, the things that are unseen. And we're looking for that house, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. We look for that blessed place, because we understand this world's not our home. We've got a home. We've got a home we're going to. We're like Abraham. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And we're already on the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, one of these days, this world and all of its vanity and all the trouble that we have while we live in this world, all the vexation that we go through, will all be over one of these days. And so, Lord, make it in our hearts to seek you above all seeking, to know you above all knowing, to find in you to be our wisdom, our righteousness, and our redemption, and create in our hearts a greater love for you, and create in our hearts a greater love for one another. And we ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. See you soon.